In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
In our neighborhood, there is this storm drain catch pond that they have actually designed to look rather nice because they've designed it to be somewhat of a park with a paved walking path that traverses that little pond that's there. And they use that water to water the neighborhood plants and so forth, so it's a nice green system that the city has now set up there. And I often circle that path as I walk our dog. And a few weeks ago, when I was walking around that path, I noticed that there was something on the surface of the water. Initially, I thought it was just some floating trash, and I got to say, I was rather disappointed and getting somewhat annoyed that someone would just throw trash in this water that's there, this little oasis in our neighborhood. However, as I drew closer, I recognized that the trash moved a little bit and actually submerged and swam away under the murky water. I discovered it wasn't trash at all, obviously, but rather, it was a turtle. Not a big deal to many people, right? I know, but I get excited about such discoveries in my life, and so it was kind of a nice little thing to discover here in the middle of our neighborhood, in the middle of these houses, in this pond, here's this turtle. Since that time, I've discovered that there's not just one turtle, but there's several turtles. In fact, earlier this week, I was walking the dog in that same area and saw that there was actually five surfaced at the same time. But what amazes me is the fact that all of the time that I've lived here, all of the time I've circled that little pond before, I've never noticed before the fact that there's turtles living there. All the time that I've been there, and there's turtles lurking under the surface that have to come up for air, and I've never noticed that there's turtles there. And in some ways, I think that this experience of my life is a metaphor of all of our lives in one sense, because we live our lives with all kinds of stuff lurking beneath the surface. And we're largely unaware of the stuff that is there going on under the surface of our hearts. But we can be certain there is stuff that is there. There's all kinds of things that is happening beneath the surface, below the surface of our lives. And if we would just look inside, we would recognize that. Whether we recognize it or not, there's stuff always going on. Can somebody turn on the AC, please? Before we get much further, thank you. And in one sense, I would say that this is what the Lenten journey is all about. We make this journey of repentance towards Christ, to his death, to his resurrection. And in the process of making the journey, we discover things that are going on deep in our hearts, things that lurk there beneath the surface, have a way of working up to the surface. And we see them for what they are, those things as they come up, and we have the opportunity to repent and pursue repentance as we recognize those things that are there under the surface. Today is Forgiveness Sunday, the day before we begin our Lenten journey. And the gospel text is reminding us essentially some of the dangers that lurk below the surface of the heart. Dangers such as hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of doing things for outward show, doing things that so in order that other people can see them. It's hypocrisy, and we don't do these things. We don't do good things so people can see what we do. We don't fast so people can see us and what a good faster we are. It also shows us the hypocrisy and the danger of unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is perhaps the ultimate hypocrisy. Clearly, unforgiveness is a dangerous thing to leave lurking under the heart. The gospel text states it plainly. If we forgive others when they wrong us, God forgives us. But if we do not forgive others the sins they commit against us, neither will God forgive us. See, it's a dangerous thing to leave unforgiveness in our hearts, to not pursue forgiveness, to not have that disposition of forgiveness. But even in this life, I would suggest that unforgiveness takes a toll on us. Unforgiveness has a way of eating away, consuming the good things in our heart. It's there under the surface, lurking and doing its evil. It causes us always to see the glass as half empty, if we even recognize that there is a glass, honestly. I mean, it takes us to such extremes that we don't even see there's a glass there at all, much less that it's half empty. And rather than being grateful, we become the chronic complainer about virtually everything in our life. We never see anything good anymore. We only see the negative in our life, and we complain about everything. That's what unforgiveness does. It gives way to this root of bitterness in our heart, and it transforms us to see everything as evil and something to complain about. But we also must recognize that even as unforgiveness is a dangerous thing, forgiveness is truly a beautiful thing. Forgiveness is a heavenly treasure, ultimately. It is a beautiful thing to be forgiven, but likewise, it's a beautiful thing to forgive. Both sides of the equation have their own beauty, both being a treasured experience from heaven. Forgiveness allows us to let go of those things that we needlessly hold on to in life. The offenses, the hurts, the misunderstandings. We can let go of those things through forgiveness. And forgiveness enables us to maintain a grateful disposition. Forgiveness places us in that stream of God's mercy. Forgiveness can ultimately make our life an oasis of God's grace. Forgiveness, it's beautiful. Forgiveness is also powerful. It's an event that has cosmic dimensions and proportions. I think we all recognize that sin is a cosmic event. Sin has a negative power with cosmic proportions and dimensions. We recognize that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden so long ago, they not only fell themselves, but all of creation fell with them. In other words, their sin affected the universe in which we live. The effect of their sin was cosmic. It affected everything. Creation became broken, not as God intended it to be. But what we need to realize is that that equation still is ongoing. That each and every time we continue in sin ourselves, each time we participate in sin, we are contributing to the chaos and the brokenness of this world. Every time I sin, I make my own personal contribution to the cosmic disorder of the universe. Every time I sin, I'm participating in the brokenness and the chaos of this sinful world. My sin makes me a willing participant and contributor to the cosmic disorder. And my sin affects everyone else in the universe. Whether I'm directly sinning against this person or not, my sin, by the nature of sin's cosmic power, it affects everyone, directly or indirectly. Just as Adam and Eve sinned so long ago, that's the nature of sin. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ came into the midst of this broken world, into the chaos of this world, to redeem it. He came, and rather than contribute to the cosmic disorder, he repaired the cosmic disorder. He didn't contribute because he came as the sinless, the righteous one. He came as the Savior, full of mercy, full of grace, full of forgiveness. Christ changed the disorder of the universe. He put it back into order. See, God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness are also cosmic principles, and they don't operate in a negative manner, but rather in a positive manner. Christ triumphed over sin and death. He forever revealed to us that the love of God, that the grace of God, that the mercy of our Lord, that the forgiveness that comes from God, these are all infinitely more powerful than the power of sin and death. God's forgiveness, God's grace reverses the disorder of sin, the chaos of sin. See, so we must understand that unforgiveness is ultimately a dangerous thing that cooperates in the disorder, but forgiveness cooperates in the restoration of all things, the redemption that Christ came into this world to accomplish. And thus it is that unforgiveness is the ultimate hypocrisy. Why is that? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of us have contributed to the chaos and the disorder and the brokenness of this world by our own sin. And so it is, how can we not forgive? How can we not forgive when we too have sinned, when we too need forgiveness, you see? Christ is the only one who came into this world and did not contribute negatively, did not contribute to the chaos. And thus, he is the only rightful one who can judge. And yet, Christ came into this world not as a judge, but as our Savior, full of grace, full of mercy, full of forgiveness. Forgiveness is indeed a beautiful thing, a treasure from heaven. It's a beautiful thing to receive the grace and mercy of God and to walk in that mercy. God's mercies are new each and every morning, the psalmist says, and indeed they are. God's mercy and God's grace can become a beautiful oasis in our own heart, in our own soul. But we must reject the sin that contributes to the brokenness, to the chaos of this world. And we must rather participate in the wonderful power of God's forgiveness. We need to be forgiven, and we likewise need to forgive. We must not allow any place for unforgiveness to lurk in our hearts. We must reject the disorder of sin and the brokenness of unforgiveness, but rather we need to participate in the cosmic and healing power of the forgiveness of God. As God's grace forgives and heals us, so it is that likewise we forgive others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.